Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we are taking a look at a stack of source material that is, frankly, alarming.
It really is.
We're not talking about your grandpa clicking a Nigerian prince scam anymore. That's yesterday's problem.
A completely different era.
We are talking about a dramatic shift in the landscape of cybercrime, where we are no longer just fighting, you know, tired, typo-prone human hackers.
No. We're fighting tireless algorithms. And that's the essential insight from all the data we've gathered. For decades, sophisticated fraud required two things.
Right.
Serious technical know-how to build the tools, and crucially, a mastery of language to sound authentic.
And that barrier is just gone.
Completely gone. It's been democratized by the accessibility of large language models.
Which means our mission today is, well, it's critical. We need to analyze this shift. We're diving deep into these zero red line tools being sold right now on the dark web.
And we need to detail exactly how they're transforming the anatomy of a modern cyber attack. It's an arms race, and the weapon is mass hyper-personalization.
To set the context, you have companies like OpenAI, which have, you know, rigorous ethical guardrails.
Right. If you ask their model to generate content for a phishing scam, it'll refuse. It might even ban you.
But where there's a will,
there is always a black market substitute.
And that's where the sources bring in these dark side AI tools. Names like FraudGPT and WormGPT.
Mm.
We're talking about jailbroken LLMs, essentially weaponized, uncensored versions of the technology you or I might use for, I don't know, homework or debugging code.
And what's really stunning is the economic model. This isn't some free open source tech.
No, it's a business.
They're sold as a subscription service, often for about $200 a month. Now, just think about that cost.
$200. A single successful crypto wallet drain or one bank transfer could cover that subscription for years.
Exactly. It gives a lone criminal access to an arsenal that just 5 years ago would have required a whole hacking collective.
And years of development. It completely shifts the risk-reward equation. It's the point where, you know, organized crime and even low-level opportunists can scale up instantly.
And if you think about it, a successful campaign might only need a 1% success rate.
Wow.
The return on investment for $200 is, I mean, it's effectively infinite. The goal of these tools is volume plus authenticity, and they deliver both at speeds we've just never seen before.
Okay, so if that's the economics, let's unpack the arsenal. What is the operational scope of these tools? When we say they work 247, what are they actually doing?
Well, the first major capability is automated content production on an unimaginable scale.
So we're not talking about those generic Dear Sir Madam emails anymore.
No, not at all. These tools can generate thousands of unique, grammatically perfect, and contextually relevant phishing emails in seconds. They're designed specifically to avoid all the old telltale signs, the odd phrasing, the spelling mistakes that used to flag human scammers.
But the sources are clear. This goes way beyond just language. The AI is involved in creating the malicious software itself.
Exactly. When we talk about a tool like WormGPT, we're talking about an LLM specifically trained to write malicious code.
Right.
It helps create scripts designed to exploit common vulnerabilities. And this is the key part. It writes code that is designed to evade signature-based antivirus software.
Which sounds like a perpetual security challenge, especially when we get to this next concept the sources warn us about. Polymorphic malware. What does that mean for our current defenses?
Polymorphic literally means many shapes, and this is the truly terrifying frontier.
Go on.
We are moving toward AI-written viruses that every time a security system detects its unique digital signature, the AI instantly rewrites its own code.
So it creates a fresh, totally new variant on the fly.
In milliseconds. So traditional antivirus, which works by recognizing known patterns, known signatures.
It becomes functionally obsolete. The pattern only exists for a moment before it changes.
Precisely. It's an endless adaptive game of cat and mouse. We're not facing a single human trying to trick a few people. We are facing algorithmic engines constantly probing the defenses of millions and adapting in real time.
So if that's the arsenal, we have to look at how they apply it. We're moving beyond generic attack to, as you said, silicon-flavored social engineering. Let's map out the three phases of this hyper-personalized attack. It starts with, what, automated surveillance?
Phase one is automated OSINT, that's open source intelligence gathering. The criminal uses one of these AI agents and just releases it onto public profiles.
Like LinkedIn, Instagram.
Public court filings, old company press releases. Anything. The AI performs digital surveillance at light speed.
I'd have to push back on that a little. Doesn't scraping public data at that scale generate a ton of digital noise?
Yeah.
How do they avoid detection?
That's a great question, and the answer is optimization. The AI doesn't need to grab everything. It's programmed to look for very specific high-value data patterns.
Such as?
Job title, recent travel, specific software subscriptions, even who they're connected to professionally. It's a targeted approach that keeps the digital footprint tiny. It learns, okay, this person is an HR director, they just got back from a conference in Miami, and they use this new scheduling software.
And these little details, these digital breadcrumbs, they become the raw material for building trust.
Absolutely. That harvested intelligence leads directly to phase two, hyper-personalization, the bait.
So instead of a generic, your bank account is locked email.
You get an email that's tailored precisely to the data the AI harvested. It's an email your brain actually expects to see.
The real-world scenario they used is just chilling. The victim gets an email titled, "Invoice for your Miami hotel stay payment error."
And it includes the exact dates of the conference. It's written with a professional, calm tone, zero linguistic errors.
This is why traditional spam filters fail, right?
Yeah.
The content is unique, it's not generic, and it's highly relevant to the target.
Exactly. It doesn't trigger keyword filters. But more importantly, it bypasses the human brain's skepticism because the context feels so specific and familiar. It feels urgent, but legitimate.
And then comes phase three, the interactive trap. The victim is already a little worried. They click the link, and it goes to a site that looks exactly like the hotel's real payment gateway. But there's a new psychological twist.
Right. We've seen static phishing pages for years. This is dynamic. A chat window pops up instantly. It says, you know, support agent Alex is here to help.
And Alex is not a human.
Alex is the LLM, now running a conversational script designed specifically to build rapport and trust.
So the AI handles objections.
It answers basic questions about the supposed payment error, keeps the victim calm and focused while they enter their card details. It exploits that human need for immediate problem resolution.
The feeling that someone is helping you.
And the moment the information is entered, the site just throws an error. But the money is already gone. The attack is complete.
Wow. It leverages urgency combined with the manufactured trust of a helpful agent. The effectiveness is just undeniable.
That's right. And this brings us to some of the scariest frontiers, because not all attacks are email-based. Some rely on pure emotional urgency.
We have to talk about the audio nightmare.
This is truly the forbidden zone of AI crime. In the past, a phone scam needed a human actor to be convincing, which was hard. It was inconsistent.
But not anymore.
Now, clones of tech like Microsoft's Veely are being sold underground. They require only 3 seconds of your voice.
3 seconds. From an Instagram story, a voicemail.
A TikTok video, anything. And the clone doesn't just replicate your timbre, it replicates emotional fluctuations. Panic, crying, fear, urgency, it's all there.
Designed to trigger an immediate fight or flight response.
Imagine the scenario from the sources. You're a parent, you get a call, the caller ID is spoofed to be your child's number, and you hear their panicked voice crying, "Mom, I was in a minor accident, I lost my wallet, and I'm at the hospital. They won't let me leave until I wire money."
The emotional response is instantaneous. Your critical thinking just shuts down. You hear your child in distress, and every rational filter is gone.
And this is where technical defense fails. You need a concrete behavioral defense mechanism in place. The sources call it the TechIn protocol.
And that is establishing a family safe word. This isn't optional anymore. This is crucial for every single person listening, especially if you have older parents.
Yes. You have to instruct your family members to never believe an urgent call for money unless that agreed-upon safe word is spoken. The defense is entirely psychological.
It's like a digital handshake.
Mm-hmm.
Even if the voice sounds perfect, if the caller can't provide that word, the assumption has to be that it's a fraud attempt.
Precisely. Now, shifting from emotional fraud to consumer fraud, we have to talk about ghost shops.
Right. So hackers are using AI to build thousands of fake e-commerce sites. And they don't look clunky, they look sleek, modern, persuasive.
And they don't just build them, they push them to the top of search engines using a technique called SEO poisoning.
How does that work?
The hackers use AI to generate thousands of legitimate-sounding blog posts, articles, and reviews, all designed to game Google's search algorithm.
So when I search for something hot, like buy PS5 Pro cheap, the poison results push the real stores down and surface the malicious ghost shop.
And you land on a site generated by AI offering that console at, say, 10-15% below market rate. It looks totally legit. It even has positive customer reviews.
Written by AI bots.
All written by bots, referencing real shipping companies, real payment methods. You're drawn in by the discount, the professional look, the social proof from the fake reviews.
You buy it. You enter your credit card info.
And 3 days later, when you check for a shipping confirmation, the website is gone. It has just evaporated. The danger is now baked into the trust systems we use every single day.
So if we connect all of this back to the bigger picture, the constant adaptation, the hyper-personalization, we realize awareness isn't enough. We need a specific practical defense protocol.
Awareness is power, but specific action is survival. We have to move from just being anxious to having a robust defense.
Okay, let's lay out the four crucial rules that everyone listening can put in place this week. What is rule number one? How do we break that immediate psychological trap?
Rule number one is the 5-second rule. Whenever you get a message, email, text, whatever, that induces urgency or fear, you must pause.
An account locked notice, a prize notification.
You must pause for 5 seconds. Take a deliberate breath. That pause is the moment of behavioral modification. It stops the emotional reptilian brain from immediately panicking.
So urgency scam.
That's it. The scammer's whole model relies on you not thinking rationally. By delaying, you engage your critical thinking.
Okay. Rule number two tackles one of the weakest links we all have, the password.
We need to acknowledge the death of the password. If a server, your bank, Google, Apple supports passkeys, which is face ID or fingerprint login, you have to enable it immediately.
Because passwords are a shared secret, they can be stolen in data breaches.
Exactly. Passkeys use public key cryptography. When you log in with your face, the private key never leaves your device. So even if a hacker steals the public key from the server, it's useless without your physical biometric verification.
It moves the fortress from a string of letters to physical proof of you.
It's a fundamental security upgrade.
All right, rule number three. This one addresses the core mechanism of that personalized attack, the malicious link.
Rule number three, verify the source. Never, under any circumstances, click a link in an email or text if it's about finance, payments, or security.
So if you get a scary email from Netflix or your credit card company,
do not click the link. Instead, you do the tedious but necessary manual verification. Manually type the known trusted address-netflix.com, your bank's URL into your browser. It takes 5 extra seconds and it completely prevents you from landing on a malicious copycat site.
It defeats the entire interactive trap. Okay, finally, rule number four. This seems especially relevant with the rise of ghost shops.
Rule number four is virtual cards. For any online shopping, especially with a new vendor you found through a search, use a virtual card that comes with a spending limit or is a single-use number.
So if the data is compromised, the attacker just gets a dead number or a number with a $50 limit they can't exceed.
Exactly. It limits your financial exposure and stops the attack chain cold. These are the immediate behavioral changes needed to survive this new fraud cycle.
The key takeaway from everything we've covered then is that the shift is complete. The barrier to entry for cybercrime has been obliterated. It's no longer about human skill. It's about algorithmic speed and personalization.
Absolutely. The source material concludes that in today's world, skepticism is not a disease. It is a survival mechanism. Your phone is now your fortress, and you have to operate as though the gates are constantly under siege.
We talked a lot about the importance of the family safe word, the speed of voice cloning, and the emotional targeting in these attacks. And the sources were very clear that the most vulnerable people are often our parents.
Which brings us to our final provocative thought for you. Considering the tools and tactics we've outlined, the audio nightmare, the 5-second rule, the family safe word protocol, what practical steps should you take this week to break the chain of fraud and ensure the safety of the people you love? The ultimate duty here isn't just personal vigilance, it's actively sharing this knowledge.